What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 495th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. I'm your host, SBJ. With me is Greg.
Hello. I still can't feel my fingers from running errands today because it's four.
Yeah, it's still temperature warning.
It's four outside.
Quattro.
And that's in American in Spanish units.
I'm assuming that's cold in Canada units. Oh, wait, spoiler. Sorry. Hi, I'm here too.
Rude!
Jumping Pengu in. Also here.
Hi, it me. Return of the Pengu. Pengu Strikes Back. Something like that.
You're watching the YouTube version. We have to consistently have one person knitting at all times. Or is that crochet?
I am not.
I am crocheting a penguin.
Crocheting is
there
different
are not
than
enough in my environment currently.
Does Will crochet or does he knit?
He knits.
I think he does both.
I think he does both too.
He does both, but he's knitting
like
right now.
What everyone always comments on the YouTube is, what is he making? I think it's a blanket.
It's always the same. It's been a blanket for 15 years. He's not done with it.
Never going to be done with it.
It's never. That's the thing about knitters and crocheters. They are never done.
Excuse, I finish many penguins and things.
Yeah, and are you like many people who are like, I got to the end and then I messed up one part, so I undid the whole thing and started over.
I do that, yes.
Yeah, see?
What? That sounds awful.
It's tragic. Got a good Instagram reel out of me unraveling it, though.
Oh, like, if this podcast is a disaster, we just keep going. That's like, we can't unravel it.
I mean, here's the thing. We could. We should. We don't.
Correct. We got some Pokemon news this week.
It's January. Nothing's happening.
Where should we start? Knowing our luck, because we record on Sundays. This comes out on Monday. Japanese Arceus trailer will probably be eventually in English.
Why is it in English? I watched it like three times in Japanese and hoping that I could understand it. I didn't.
Here it's the fourth time it really clicks with you.
I'll have to watch it again. That water looks real good, though.
Oh, gosh. The water is the worst part of that whole trailer.
I want you to put together a slideshow of games that you like the water in.
I would argue that Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl have pretty good water.
BDSP has very nice water. I can second that.
It's because it's using the Unity engine. Unity makes real nice water.
Again, next weekend, I would like a PowerPoint together of your favorite water bits.
Do we want to talk about that trailer first? I mean,
I would have more to talk about if I understood half of the things that were happening. Like, the whole section of throwing packets at the Pokemon,
like
it
the
seemed
ramen
important.
Packets.
And I don't know why it's important, because I couldn't understand what they were saying.
I have not watched the trailer, so for me and the one other person listening to this who hasn't yet, can I get like a TLDR of the trailer?
Here's the TLDR. It shows a lot of Pokemon Arceus in Japanese, and it explains a bunch of things that I didn't understand because the explanation was in Japanese. I don't think there was anything new except for there's a bunch of red-eyed Pokemon that are literally trying to murder you in the overworld.
Oh, that's fun.
They showed
fun.
That a lot.
I also don't think there's anything new because Serebii would have pointed that out.
Yeah. There wasn't anything new. I think there's explanations
like three new areas
of stuff
that they showed.
Yeah, and there was explanations. Like they explained photography a bit more. They introduced the great-great-great-great-great-grandmother of Caitlyn's butler. She's new.
They showed a Golduck.
Yeah, they showed a Golduck. They showed a Chimchar in the wild.
They showed
you knew that.
Crobat. That was new.
So is this I have not been following Legends because I'm like not an action RPG type person muchly. Okay. So is there going to be like a combat mechanic? Is that what these red-eyed Pokemon are, where you like actually fight them outside of like a turn-based battle?
Yeah. So it does definitely seem like you will run into angry Pokemon who are very, very aggressive, unlike non-red-eyed Pokemon who are aggressive only if you seem to bother them. These, okay. At least, again, I didn't have a translation and I don't know what they're saying, but it did seem like you'll run into red-eyed Pokemon who are very much into attacking you and trying to kill you.
Well, that's fun.
And it is action-based. It is, at some point, you like throw your Pokeball at them and your partner comes out, and then you go into action/turn-based combat, but it seems much more real-time action than turn-based. Like,
interesting.
Did you ever play Chrono Trigger that had the bars that went up, and then when it hit the top of the bar, you got to do an action? It felt like that to me.
That was Final Fantasy VII.
It's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That feels a lot like that, like there's a charging, and then you can use an attack. The animations don't look any different than they did in Sword and Shield that I saw in there. They looked the same. Water coming out of the belly button instead of the mouth and things like, and giant jaws for bite instead of like just a bite. There is something with the rotten bags of fruit or whatever they are. Couldn't tell you. They were talking about it for a while in Japanese and I didn't know it.
They showed a citrus berry.
They showed that you need a rock that looks like meat and something else to make Pokeballs.
The red rock.
You have to make your own Pokeballs in this game?
Yeah.
That's what it seems like.
I mean, you have a God phone, but you still have to make Pokeball.
So they brought crafting into Pokemon.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
Maybe and I will like this game.
They showed more of the character. They showed characters that they had introduced before, but I don't know if they said something new about them because I couldn't understand it. They showed some sweet water. They showed some sweet lava.
They went through all the ride Pokemon again.
Yeah, they did all the ride Pokemon. They did all of the areas again.
It's also just kind of confusing. They have pinned, ever since X and Y, these games as worldwide games. And so to release a Japanese trailer that doesn't actually say that much and not have an English trailer seems weird.
Yeah, I don't. It's like it's a gameplay trailer. Like everywhere I see referred to it as a gameplay trailer. And it does go through aspects of gameplay, I guess. I just don't know why there's not an English version yet.
I would also argue that I don't think this trailer convinces anyone who's on the fence. It shows a lot of what we already know and nothing where I didn't know they showed the I'm going to throw the ramen packet bags at you and like spice you up before I'm ultimately probably going to catch you. We've seen that before. We've seen that like twice. And they showed that again in this trailer, but they showed it even longer. Like he throws like 8 ramen packets. And I still have questions. I don't know why I'm doing this. Why are we spicing up the cleaver?
It's hard to say that it didn't make a case to people who are on the fence about the game because I don't know what they said. Like I don't know if the explanation of what was happening was a good explanation and a selling point. Like the game looks good. I think we got to see more action in a more polished environment because it did look better.
Visually, it looked better, yes. Except the water.
So I think those things maybe push people over. I mean, the water is brilliant. I mean, I'm looking at the water I have in my glass right now and it looks the same.
Interesting. The one thing that was new, but really not that new, and again, not like a selling point, is that we found out the Zoroark is probably like the second or third boss.
Yeah.
Because we know Cleaver is like the first boss. Because it has the boss meter that they showed in like the last trailer. And then there's like a split like 3 seconds where Hisuian Zoroark has that same boss meter.
Yeah.
So we know that. So I guess that is like the one bit of new information we have is this Pokemon is one of the... I'm assuming there's 8 of them, right? Like that's the guess.
Yeah.
There's probably...
Well, they showed a thing with a bunch of stars. And I couldn't
they tell what the star thing.
I couldn't tell if the stars were going to mark off wardens because there were a lot. I think there were like 10 and not 8. So I don't know what the stars were because, again, I was like, okay, here we go.
Wait, Pengu, were you planning on getting this game?
No, I'm not planning on getting it. I'm planning on watching you play it.
It's because it's not traditional, right? It's like the action.
Yes, I'm one of the people who likes the easy train track. Tell me where to go, otherwise I can't navigate it myself. Let me just beat the gym leaders first try. Let me overlevel as much as I can. Yep. I just want like a chill, easy Pokemon experience. And Legends sounds stressful.
Yeah, I don't like maneuvering through the world. I couldn't tell if only Pokemon with red eyes actively pursue you like they did in the wild area, and everything else was people. I couldn't tell that very well from the trailer because it looked like they walked past a Sveal who was just super happy and smiling and staring at you. So at least like we know that not all of them are going to attack you, but I couldn't tell in the trailer if they are trying to differentiate between watch out for things that have red eyes versus regular eyes, because the red eyes ones are going to pursue you.
I'm kind of guessing that the red eye ones are just like overleveled. Like when you went to the wild area for the first time, there were strong Pokemon that you couldn't catch. I don't know. That's kind of what I thought, but who knows? What I do know is this off bleedingcool.com. Pokemon Legends Arceus becomes the latest Tetris 99 Cup focus. We're ball playing Tetris 99 still, right?
I still play Tetris 99.
Oh, see, there we go.
So that's exciting.
Greg's trying to remember what this game is.
Yeah, what is Tetris 99?
What?
It's like the free Tetris game that you get with Switch Online, I think, and you like play with 98 other people, 99 mm-hmm. other people, like with Tetris battles. You know,
the only 99 thing that was ever good was 1 versus 100.
That was very good.
And since it's not that, I've never played.
You've never played Tetris 99? Do you like Tetris,
no.
Greg? That's like your game. You grew up with that.
What do you mean that's like my game? What
what are you trying to say about Greg here?
Please look around my room to point out the vast Tetris merch I suddenly have. Where did that statement come from?
Aren't you like older than Tetris itself?
I was there when Tetris was created, yes.
Okay.
That does not mean I was aboard the Tetris train.
You're telling me you did not like Tetris as a kid?
I was fine. Okay, but Tetris wasn't as a kid for me. That's not a kid game for me. Pac-Man was a kid game for me.
Wait, Pac-Man's older than Tetris? I thought Tetris was pretty old.
I cannot with you.
Mm.
Just can't. Tetris was 1984. I was 14. And then it came over. It got big in 86, I want to say.
My first experience was Tetris was the Game Boy, where they were including Tetris for free when you bought a Game Boy.
I mean, Pac-Man was 1980. So, like.
When did I get a Game Boy? 90.
Because I think I only had Tetris on the Game Boy.
96?
But again, I was in my teens, so I would have had to purchase games with my own money. So I only played Tetris when other people had it, and then they convinced me to buy it. And then my mom was addicted to Tetris, so she would steal my Game Boy.
I'm going to out myself as a real
Tetris.
Zoomer here,
moms
but
love
I first really got into Tetris when it was like Tetris Friends on Facebook, where you could like play Tetris with your Facebook friends. That's when I got really into Tetris.
Pokemon podcast over. I need to hear about Facebook.
Yeah, it was great.
Games.
You could like battle
what?
Your friends.
That's
God,
a game on Facebook.
Got the Tetris DS game. Played my pink DS Lite at lunch at school.
Was it like real Tetris or was it like
define knockoff Tetris?
Do you remember? Okay, this. Okay, a knockoff Tetris would be when maybe like
Totris.
three people listening to this podcast know what I'm talking about. When the iPhone first got an app store, which was the second year of the iPhone, and you could download mm-hmm. apps, there was a Tetris game that came out within like the first month of like the app store, and it was called Tris, T-R-I-S.
I do remember that.
It was a really good Tetris game, but it wasn't Tetris. And then the creators of Tetris, like, DMCA'd them or whatever, legally did something, and then Tris had to be removed. And it was the first one of those games, because like, that happened Flappy Bird, too, where, like, Flappy Bird was removed, and people were like, I have Tris on my phone, and then they would sell their phone because people wanted the game. And I had Tris. And there was a really long time where I was like, I can't erase my phone. I can't transfer it to a new phone because I don't want to lose Tris. I'm assuming
the Facebook one
was officially through like Tetris though.
So is this where your obsession over not flipping your phone horizontally came from? Tetris?
I mean, Tetris is very like designed for. I mean, I'm sure there is a Tetris, an actual Tetris on iPhone.
So I will say this. I played a lot more Dr. Mario than I played Tetris.
Oh, Tetris is way better than Dr. Mario.
Are you? What is wrong with you? Tetris doesn't have cute little dancing germs. Also, Tetris Tetris is from Russia, which, if you remember, is the enemy. So,
yeah, that's what society has taught us.
Look, I was not about to give into the red propaganda of playing Tetris in the 80s. That's for communists. I watched Red Dawn.
That movie, I'm aware of that movie existing. Nintendo is launching another Maximus Cup in Tetris 99 this week. The focus is around Pokemon Legends Arceus. The latest entry of the Pokemon series has not been released, but does not stop being fans for getting psyched up for the... This is good timing. You release the Tetris event before the game comes out. Not this like same weekend that they always do. Here's eight things the same weekend again. No, you build the hype. You release it a week before. It goes
Because it's not... Janine's not in charge of that calendar. Also, what does that mean? Tetris 99 is going to be... Like, is it going to be Pokemon instead of blocks?
You can explain, Pengu.
I'm not going to explain. I was just going to speculate wildly, but it sounds like you actually know the answer. So
I do. So they'll pick different themes. They've done like Fire Emblem. They did Sword and Shield. We covered this on the podcast. So it's still just normal Tetris, except the background will be Pokemon, and then the music will be Pokemon. That's literally like the only two changes.
Okay, that's what I was going to speculate wildly. I speculated correctly.
How does that convince people to buy this game?
Is it supposed to convince people to buy this game?
If you're like a Tetris fan and you're like, oh, there's a new Pokemon game coming out, I don't know.
Maybe to alert Tetris fans of a new game?
Also, this is like bare minimum marketing, right? Like, they had to make a wallpaper for Tetris, and they had to like make like two different music tracks, like the normal music, and then like you're about to get eliminated music. Like, that's really bare bones here. Now, the event is from January 20th through the 24th, and if you get 100 points, and you just get like 5 points for even playing a match, you get to keep the theme after the theme is gone. So it is the sense of urgency. So like if you didn't play during the couple days they had the Sword and Shield theme, you can't have it anymore. But if you did get enough points, then at any point I can switch to the Sword and Shield theme just to like have that music.
But only you can see it, right?
Yeah. Look, there is probably a very hardcore audience out there that wants to collect every Tetris theme that they pump out here.
Y'all are wild.
Or, you know, if you're someone like Steve who has put 2,000 hours into Sword and Shield and you, heaven forbid, open a new game and miss the Sword and Shield music, you can have it.
Yeah.
You know what Tetris is lacking? Sword and Shield music. I'm tired of Russia. Bring me to Galar.
The Tetris theme song does slap, so I would choose that if given the option.
Tetris is one of those games where you're like, I'm really good at Tetris in your immediate friend group, and then you take one step out of that friend group and you realize that you are not good at Tetris.
You are very bad at it.
Oh yeah, that's me.
Speaking of friends, Converse, that's the shoe of friends wear Converse.
Good segue. A+.
It's the lifter's shoe. You're clanging and banging in 2022, the remix.
Lifter shoe?
Here it is.
Oh, yeah, we talked about this like 2 weeks ago, that you want that flat shoes for weightlifting.
You need the flat shoes for lifting.
This is off IGN. Converse reveals their 25th anniversary chucks, shirts, hats, and more. I know Greg was going to say something. I would probably argue that technically it's 25 until February 27th, or then they would turn 26.
I'm sure they're holding on to that big announcement to drop in February 26th.
I'm really saving the best for last here with Converse. So there are 14 products available at Converse.com. I did check this morning. They still did have multiple pairs of these shoes in stock. Some are sold out.
Mm-hmm.
Some are not ready for purchase. There's like a couple shirts that are like...
There's a lot, FYI, that is sold out.
Buy soon.
There's a lot sold out.
First shoe featured is the Converse and Pokeball Chuck Taylor All-Star, which retails for about $70, which is like the normal price of most of these shoes, right? They're normally like 60-ish. Yeah,
about 70.
The Converse
Pokemon Pokeball Chuck Taylor All-Star is sold out.
They got Pikachu, Converse. Charmander, Squirtle, Bulbasaur, Meowth, Jigglypuff all over them.
Yep.
There are kids versions of these shoes. Those were the ones that sold out, though.
Those are all sold out, too. But, like, the two adult, the high tops, the first partners, and the Pokeball Chuck Taylors for $70 are also sold out. If you want the high-end, high ones, the 90s and 115s, those are still in stock.
They look okay.
They do. I mean, I kind of want...
The hat is still in stock.
None of the shirts are.
The backpack is still coming soon.
The bad hoodie is still coming soon.
You know, if I was... There's like this... I cannot... I'm so glad I'm not into shoe culture. The people who are on these like six different apps to like wait for Nikes to drop to like get in a digital line. Or you ever go to the mall and there's like a line outside of Champs and they're like waiting for... Like, shoe culture seems worse than the when we were in that Pokemon drought for TCG cards.
Mm.
It seems awful. And then there's, like, the whole thing of, do you even wear these shoes? Do you just keep them in boxes?
No. You put them in boxes. You put them on your wall.
No, but then I saw on TikTok, which is probably inaccurate because I started off the sentence saying, I saw this on TikTok.
Yep.
Of people who did collect shoes and then didn't wear them and then talked about how the shoe falls apart faster. Because you don't wear them. It was
How does
very
it fall apart if you're not touching it? Yeah, is it just they, disintegrates on your shelf one day?
Did they go through the process of how it falls
apart?
Yeah,
they talk about how like the sole, or what the bottom part, the thing you stand
the
on.
Sole.
The sole mm-hmm. is made of a material, and it starts to crumble even if you don't wear it. And wearing it like puts pressure on it. And like it like works it like a muscle in your body, so then it actually stays together. They compared it to like you like working out. Like you gotta keep working out, otherwise your muscles go away. And they were talking about how
So it compacts the material and keeps the material flexible, whereas if you don't, it never compacts and just degrades.
Correct. Yes.
It's not being constantly compacted and worked.
That's what they said. So they were like, you might as well wear your shoes because otherwise they're just gonna fall apart sitting on your shelf. It was really interesting. And I was like, again, I was like, thank goodness I'm not into shoe culture. But if I was,
I mean,
if I was like, you know what, I like
culture,
these Pokemon
so
shoes.
Let's be real. I know you have waited in line for a phone.
Yeah, back in the day I did.
So let's...
That was when I was a very...
Apple fanboy?
I was a very bad Apple fanboy. Yeah. Look, I still use Apple products. I'm just not... I just buy them with distaste now. I'm just very upset that I keep giving Apple money.
What is your
reluctant
what is,
Apple
okay,
fanboy?
So what would you switch to? Like
I can't switch. I'm too deep into this ecosystem.
So like why would you have distaste about it? Like you made a choice. You can come to peace with the fact that you bought into a system.
Yeah,
I have a Galaxy phone in my house for work. I literally don't know why people get all up in arms about which system you use. Like, they're both bad.
If I was to collect any of these shoes, though, I would have probably got the kids' shoes. Because they're half the cost.
They don't have kids.
They're the same shoe. They're just little. They're like, it's like, it's like, you know, in Pokemon cards, you get the jumbo card and then you get the normal size card. Like, I don't want the jumbo one, because I'm not going to do anything with it anyways.
Explaining the difference between kids' shoes and adult shoes right now?
Yeah, well, I'm
that
thinking
one
the
is smaller
shoes.
Than the other?
Yeah,
well,
they're smaller.
Welcome
and
to
I'm
the
thinking,
show.
I would want to put the kids' shoes on my shelf, because they're, like, cute and, like, smaller, and they're the same. They're
the
also
the only ones that were actually cuter. The Pokemon kids' shoes with...
The little kids' chucks are cute, the little black ones.
With the Pikachu tail in the back is very cute. But it sold out. Oh, Converse blocked me. I can no longer access. I clicked around too much. Jerks.
We had another story. Speaking of the TCG, Pokemon TCG, Leafeon V-Star and Glaceon V-Star Special Collections. Two Eevee Evolution play a starting role in the new V-Star Special Collections. V-Star Glaceon and V-Star Leafeon are ready to harness the power of Grassonites to knock out their competition. These boxes will feature one promo card of Leafeon V or Glaceon V, one etched promo card of Leafeon V-Star or Glaceon V-Star, one etched oversized card, one acrylic V-Star marker, and five booster packs, which means that these will probably retail for $29.99.
Are we past the point where the booster packs that you hate would not be in this set?
No, because we have walked into Battle Styles realm, and Battle Styles is the Crimson Invasion of Sword and Shield. Crimson Invasion properly named. It's an invasion of bad cards that you would have to suffer through. Battle Styles is the Crimson. Battle Styles is bad.
Okay, here's the real question. You hate that you purchase Apple, but you never have anything good to say about Pokemon cards?
No, there are some good cards. There are some good cards. That
you hate like most sets. Why do you play this game?
Most Pokemon sets are bad. Vivid Voltage is a good set. Fusion Strike, bad, even though I just ordered a booster box of Fusion Strike.
For everybody at home, what is your criteria for a good or bad set?
I would say card count. So the reason Fusion Strike is bad is because it's the biggest set ever. So it feels like you have just so much filler. Because it is. It is nothing but filler. So ideally you want a bit of a smaller set, and you want the cards in the set to be like sought after. So the reason Crimson Invasion is bad is because the only card that is sought after was an energy card. It was either the fairy or the water energy. It was a holo version of that. And that card itself ended up being at its peak around $40. So if you bought 36 packs of Crimson Invasion for $99, the most expensive card was 40 and also very hard to pull. And the other cards you pull wouldn't even like come close to you getting your money back.
So that is all based on resale. It does it matter about playability? Were there actually good format cards in there? Or does that not factor into the this is a good set, this is a bad set
cards
equation?
Being good, but the cards being good factor into resale value. If a card is good, it goes up in price because it's good to use. So that kind of like plays like in Battle Styles. Okay. I don't think there's like Battle Styles would be the Urshifus would be like okay, but they're not terribly expensive themselves because I'm pretty sure they were like tinned. By tinned, I mean like you just buy a box and it was like a promo on the box, so it like decreases the price of it, I think.
So I've been assuming that when you say a set is bad, it's because it's bad to play, but it's actually bad because is a good card to play completely independent from a pretty card? Like, are the pretty cards good to play, or are those just unrelated to each other?
Sometimes they're unrelated. So, like, these are good questions. So, like, Charizard will always be a bad card to play, but always will be an expensive card. The same with Umbreon. I don't know why, but Umbreon cards are always worth money, and most of them are bad. And then
so when you say bad to play, like the abilities are bad, it doesn't do enough, it's too hard to set up.
Yeah, usually Charizard cards are like 5 energy, which is way too much, and the move is in itself isn't even good. Like like a lot of cards in the TCG that are good revolve around like 2 to 3 energy. If you're asking for 4 energy, holy cow, it better be one of the most incredible moves you're about to do if you're asking for 4 energy. And if you're asking for 5, you better like instantly win the game when you put on that 5th energy. Like you are asking for a lot. But yeah, a lot of meta will revolve around like a 2 or a 3 energy move or ability. But then there are also Pokemon that always have similar abilities. No matter like whether the card is 6 months old or like 10 years old. Like Vileplume almost always has the same ability, which is like no one can play items anymore. Which, if your deck doesn't have items and you're building around that, very good for you because it doesn't matter. And very devastating to your opponent if their deck is very item-based. Yeah, but Vileplume and Garbodor, they always have some sort of ability that's like that. And then there's cards like Mew, and Mew is always expensive because people like Mew, but Mew is also always usually a very good card in the TCG. So those two things just kind of stack together. And most Mew cards are $40, $60, which sucks if you need like three Mews in your deck and they're like $40 each.
Need.
I think Mew is one of the most dominant cards right now in the current format.
What about Rainbow Full Art?
Rainbow Full Art is like... some people love the rainbow and some people hate the rainbow, like visually. Like, I like the way the rainbow stuff looks. Some people
Did anybody hate rainbows?
Some people just don't like the way it looks. So sometimes the rainbow cards will be worth more and sometimes it won't. So it just depends.
So. Okay.
So the people who don't like rainbows win out on when the rainbow cards are worth less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there are cards like trainer cards, like let's say
N.
Because back in black and white, you would always want four N's. Maybe if you were feeling real risky, you would only run three N's, but you would want four. So when they made Full Art N, those cards were really expensive because you would put N in every deck. So if you invested in four Full Art N's, you're investing in like, I can put these in all the decks I play, and that causes the price to go up.
Who first put this four of one type in a deck ruling? Because it's up in a lot of card games. Why did they pick four?
Is it Yu-Gi-Oh 3?
Look, I have no idea about that. I do not want to risk my soul going to the Shadow Realm, so I stay far away from Yu-Gi-Oh.
The correct choice.
The only TCG deck I've ever played was me and my brother got these like world champion decks
many years ago, and we played.
And I played one where the thing was like you had to discard like 8 million Magikarps, and then you like played a card that was like for every Magikarp you discard, you do an extra 10 damage or whatever. So I'm pretty sure that had like 4 Magikarps, and then I came in and destroyed with my discarded Magikarps.
What deck was that? That sounds very familiar.
Carp destruction is what we call it.
Carp? Stop.
what?
You know when the world champion people win, they like get to name their deck. So when you do buy those world championship decks, those are like the name.
I should go find the name. If it's not called Carp destruction, it should be.
All right. Well, let's take a break. And we'll come back.
You're so defeated, and we're only halfway through the show. I'm feeling very proud of this so far.
Hey, we have some Pokemon Go news, and we actually have some Pokemon Snap news to talk about. So we will be right back. This podcast is brought to you by Magic Spoon.
Growing up, cereal is one of the best parts of being a kid. Which is true. I had cereal every morning. Saturday morning for cartoons, but I had to give it up because I realized it was full of sugar and junk that you really shouldn't eat. But Magic Spoon is different because it has 0 grams of sugar, it's got 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. And it's only 140 calories a serving.
Yep, Magic Spoon is keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb. The variety pack has 4 flavors, which are cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter.
Magic Spoon arrived. I tried it. Oh, I only tried one flavor. I couldn't try all 4 at once. But the first flavor I tried was the cocoa. It was very good. I had to go out to the store.
Like, it tastes like your normal cocoa cereals. That's the important thing. All right. Well, when were you a big cocoa cereal eater?
Yeah, I loved the chocolate cereal. Big fan. But like for me, it is that thing of, you know, I haven't had cereal in forever. So like waking up in the morning, having cereal. The thing is, if you told me this was healthy, I'd be like, oh, cool. It's good. That's all that matters. It being healthy, just an added bonus right there. Hey, you can go to magicspoon.com/PKMNCAST to grab a variety pack and try it today. Be sure to use our promo code PKMNCAST at checkout and you will save $5 off your order. Magic Spoon is so confident, as I am too, of their product. It is backed by 100% happiness guaranteed, not to be confused with Happini. So if you, for any reason, don't like it, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Because, you know, Happini is like,
yeah, we know. Yeah, this is the Pokemon podcast.
Okay, got it. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/PKMNCAST and use the code PKMNCAST to save $5 off. Thank you to Magic Spoon for sponsoring this episode. This podcast is brought to you by Every Plate.
With Every Plate, you can experience full plates and fuller wallets with America's best value meal kits. Every Plate is 50% cheaper than a meal made from grocery store ingredients, so now is the perfect time to focus on saving money easily.
Also, Every Plate cuts out trips to the grocery store and stressful meal planning, which is my life. So you can enjoy cooking and getting dinner on the table in just about 30 minutes. Let Every Plate plan, shop, and deliver everything you need to cook a delicious meal at a delightful price.
I am so excited. We got the spicy chicken, Greg. It's coming back. It's back on the menu.
Oh, you're back to the spicy chicken. It's your favorite.
It is my favorite. I upped the servings. You can do that on Every Plate. You go to their website. You hit the little plus button. We're getting double the servings of the spicy chicken. It's coming back.
There aren't double the people in your house, though.
That's two meals. It's like, okay. You know how people are like, today's pizza night. It's like, no, today is spicy chicken night, and tomorrow night is spicy chicken night. That's how excited I am. Irene spent 3 hours making some meal. It was good. But I was like, imagine if this was an Every Plate meal. We'd be done in 30 minutes. We would have saved money. We would have saved time.
Please, please tell me you did not say to your wife after 3 hours of labor, this could have been 30 minutes. Please.
30 minutes with Every Plate.
You can try Every Plate for just $1.79 per meal by going to everyplate.com and entering code SUPEREFFECTIVE179. Get started with Every Plate just for $1.79 per meal by going to everyplate.com and entering code SUPEREFFECTIVE179, and you can save up to $104 in value and get that spicy chicken. It's coming up.
$104 worth of spicy chicken.
And we are back from our break. Hey, let's talk about Pokemon Snap. We haven't talked about that in like 6 months.
Because it's a dead game.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
just like Pokemon Unite.
What do we need to talk about? It happened. It was a moment. It was iconic. We loved it. And then we moved on with our lives.
Brandon sent this in from our Slack community in the Attic channel here. It's from Nintendo Life titled, New Pokemon Snap took many years of trial and error. Core concept could have been changed. And this was off a interview originally from Famitsu. Nintendo Everything, who I think we talked about last week, did the translation for some stuff. They did the translation here, which was the Famitsu interview. It came from the Pokemon Company's president, Ishihara. Ishihara said, quote, with the release of every new generations of console, be it the GameCube or the Wii, we discussed making a sequel. Taking photos becomes something we do every day, and its novelty isn't what it used to be. So it was difficult to concept a game around it. There was a lot of debate on how the gimmick would work, which made it difficult to start development. The game was the fruits of many years of trial and error. We finally found a concept that made sense on the Nintendo Switch, and we made it. In the same interview, the game director, Suzuki, mentioned after such a long time away, it was considered whether or not Pokemon Snap's core concept should be changed. Thankfully, fans wanting more of the same, they decided that the original game's concept should return. So Suzuki says, it's been more than 20 years since the Nintendo 64 release of Pokemon Snap, and the problems we faced of whether or not we should change the game's core concept It was a great opportunity for us, reflecting on the game proved to be a big influence of development. The more I heard about what happened during development of the last game, it reaffirmed our decision to stick with the original game's concept from there. It was finding things within the core concept that we could expand on or better suit today's market.
It's just that it's like nothing. It's like a nothing statement. I'm trying to think of like, it's like saying, well, we could have changed the core concept. We could be doing a different podcast right now, but ultimately we didn't.
Could
and
have
there's
gone down
no
that
explanation
Tetris route,
of what but... the what it could have been. Like, okay.
Yeah, I think like maybe I am just like an uncreative human, but what other core like if you change the core concept, it wouldn't be a Pokemon Snap game, really. I don't know. Like what other core concept could you do other than like running around taking pictures of Pokemon and have a Pokemon Snap game?
Yeah, this article just feels like, I think the interesting piece is they thought about making a sequel for at every console turn. I do think that's a fairly interesting, like this could have been a long going series if they made one for every console, but they sort of don't explain, at least what we see here, why they didn't, and what about the Switch made it like, oh, now this engine is the one that we want to use. I just wish there was more to this, because it's just like, okay, yeah, we thought about it, we didn't do it, and now we have a game. Okay, bye!
Yeah, I don't know if the interviewer just didn't press... Like, I guess I don't know what the interviewer's main goal of interviewing about Pokemon Snap so far after the fact. Like, what was he fishing for? Like, what was the story he was trying to get? Because if you're talking to Ishihara, president of the Pokemon Company, ideally, the guy that knows everything about Pokemon in the sense of, like, what are we doing this year for our franchise? Like, we know that we've made a Pokemon Dash. Has that been brought up on the table? Are we making a sequel to Pokemon Dash? Are we making a sequel to Puzzle League? Are we making a sequel to Snap? Are we making a sequel to Conquest? Are we making a... Are we doing Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl, or are we doing significantly better Platinum? Like, what? Like, I'm assuming that he has some say.
Mm-hmm.
But not to the point where he's like, hey, are you removing HMs from this game? Like, I don't think that's what he's doing, but I can't imagine he hasn't in 20-some years thought about Pokemon Snap, like, every single year.
Yeah. I mean, so I clicked through to Nintendo Everything, and they have more from the interview, which I think is actually more interesting. One of the things they said, you know, were they worried about handing it over to Bandai Namco, and they said they had really high hopes that the team would create a new Pokemon Snap because Pokken itself was a great achievement, and they were floored by the amount of detail that they put in the game's background and scenery. They questioned whether the volume of Pokemon and background detail that they included in Pokken was even necessary, as it was completely unrelated to the core gameplay, but sometimes when playing, they'd get attacked while their eyes were in the background, and they were wondering if that was intentional. And also, Famitsu asked Ishihara if they put any requests while new Pokemon Snap was in development, and Ishihara himself that he said he rarely gave the team any specifics. So I think that detail is really interesting, that they really said, we trust the background and the detail that you made in Pokken, so we are trusting you to make a gorgeous Snap game. And they really, from this, at least seems like they were really fairly hands-off of to what that looked like. I think that's a fairly interesting thing. I still wish I would know why they felt the Switch was now the console to do it.
Yeah, I just because maybe the Switch sold incredibly well. I mean, the Wii sold incredibly well. Was the hesitation like one wanted
see, like,
to make a Snap game with motion controls? Because that was the thing you heard during the Wii is like, yeah, everyone's like, oh, the Wii is the perfect console for Snap because you can look around, and it's like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I think probably motion controls like put into question like what would be interesting with motion controls for this, because a lot of those motion controls weren't intuitive, and the way Snap plays, you were spinning around a lot. So did we have to like move away from the screen to switch the... I think that would be more problematic than the Switch would with better graphics.
I don't doubt that the game was like difficult to make in the sense of how do we make a what is ultimately a 6-hour game on the Nintendo 64 that was a rental for a lot of people. Like it was the go to Blockbuster on Friday night, rent Snap for the weekend, return it on Monday, have a great time. A month later, forget about it, and then wanting to do that experience again. And we were all wrong in like, is this going to be another 6-hour game? And it ended up being a very long game if you were a completionist,
mm-hmm.
or if you like to look for secrets. And it was a very, I think, good price, good time / price investment for your money, even if you just went through it once. I do think there was a lot of value there. They are correct in the sense of like photography has changed. Like everyone has a camera now. Back in the when Pokemon Snap came out, it was like, here's a disposable camera for your birthday. Treasure these 20 photos you can take. And mom and dad are never going to get them developed because that costs money too. And that costs time to go. And it's like,
I mean, I would say access to photography is easier nowadays. Photography is more accessible now than it was. Good photography is still as inaccessible as it was.
I don't know what changes they would have made, though. Like, what was... Like Pengu said, if you change the core concept, then it's no longer Snap.
I mean, so I'm wondering if maybe they're like... The core concept would be you would still... Like, a change of core concept would be you would go out and you would capture Pokemon, and then you would bring them back to a studio ranch type situation and then create scenes and, you know, tableaus for photography. So it'd be less of...
So it'd be like Harvey's Island in Animal Crossing, but with Pokemon?
Yeah.
Harvey's Island was never interesting to me.
I'm uncreative and bad at designing, so I never did that.
This is why I stopped playing Animal Crossing, because I saw other people be so creative and so good, and it made me self-conscious of like, oh, I can't do that. Well, I'm just a failure.
Have faith in yourself.
My island sucks compared to your island, so I might as well just give up on life.
Your island was a unique expression of you, and you should be proud of the hot mess you created.
Front page of the subreddit. Mess.
That's true. I was front page of crappy Animal Crossing. / crappy Animal Crossing. Forever live in infamy there. I wonder if new Pokemon Snap will be looked on as an incredible game as Pokemon Snap has 20 years later. Because I do, I genuinely believe that new Pokemon Snap is a perfect sequel. It does everything better, and you lose nothing to the point where you're like, man, I wish they did this like they did in the original. With one exception. I will say one exception. They don't have the, like, you were close! That's, like, maybe the one exception. Like, if
wonderful.
It had that, it would be actually, like, 11 out of 10 perfect.
The only thing I would say, the only thing why I don't think it will stand out as much as the original is that the original felt new in the way like you didn't have access to this and it was a thing to go to Blockbuster and print things out. Like there was a whole sort of weird culture that was around it that was very novel to that game. And I don't think Pokemon Snap, the new Pokemon Snap, brings a level of novelty that people will remember it 20 years later. Like, there wasn't, like, we aren't talking about going to Blockbuster to print pictures out with new Pokemon Snap. We aren't talking about what an experience it was to rent it for the weekend and you get all your things and beg your parents to do these things. That doesn't exist with this game. And I don't think that it has enough uniqueness that people will be talking about it being like a perfect game 20 years from now. It's a very good game, but I don't think it has enough uniqueness about it to sort of have a ton of legs to a lot of people. And also, it was rare to see Pokemon in the wild and in 3D, and it is pretty common now, you know?
Which, those are probably things they thought about.
Yeah.
It's like the whole, you know, in interviews they said, like, we have no desire to do a stadium, because the whole point of stadium was to see Pokemon in 3D battling, and we have that now. All right, to shift gears a little bit, Niantic did something weird. They're doing what is called a classic community day, which at first I thought, oh, they already did two Charmander community days. This would be the second Bulbasaur. That's not that weird. But we're getting two community days this month. Wait, what is... Sfeel is this month, right? Yeah, yeah.
Sfeel
is this upcoming weekend.
I thought it was the 16th. Is that this upcoming weekend?
16th. Yes, 16th. This upcoming weekend. And then Bulbasaur will be the 22nd. As a special treat, we'll be holding a Community Day Classic, bringing back a favorite Bulbasaur. It will have the Frenzy Plant special move. It will have the Community Day Research story. So for $1, you'll get a story on it. I think it's the same story that was original. I don't remember if they had stories when Bulbasaur came out.
I have no idea. I didn't do it.
It's just $1, though, so I don't... You get three times the catch XP, incense for 3 hours, snapshots, lure modules will last for 3 hours. There will be the scam box, as always, for 1,280 Pokecoins. You'll get 50 Ultra Balls, 5 Lucky Eggs, 5 Star Pieces, Elite Charge TM. 30 Ultra Balls will be available in the shop at no cost.
I think it's also interesting to note that it's a shorter time.
Oh, yeah, this is the specifically 3 hours again. This is the first 3-hour community day since the pandemic started.
Yeah.
Is this their way of getting it back to 3 hours? Do they care about that? I wonder if by them moving it to 6 hours, they were like, oh, we made more money because it's longer. But if that was the case, then why would they not have this be 6 hours?
I'm curious about the decision, and I'm still burned by the distance change. So if this is like a test to go back to 3 hours, please have learned from before. It is a problem for nobody but you, and you do not need to come up with a fix.
To me, it reads as like faithful remake. We're going back to classics. So like we're going back to Bulbasaur and also faithfully remaking the 3-hour community day.
It worked so well with Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl, we decided to ruin this game, too.
Is it like we're doing 3 hours because now we're giving you 2 a month instead of 1 a month? Like, it does... The time itself does seem weird. Like, that was obviously a conversation that people had. And then you look at the things they did in Pikmin Bloom, which is a Niantic game. Obviously a different team, like Niantic has multiple teams. They have like their Transformer team, who knows what's happening with their Harry Potter team. They have their Pikmin team, they have this team. And the first Pikmin community day, it was like 12 hours long, right? It was like,
yeah.
It was 10. It was like from 10, no, it was 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., right? It was something like that.
Yeah, it was 12 hours.
And then there was issues in New Zealand. So classic Niantic messing up New Zealand for every game they do. Thank you to everyone who lives in New Zealand to suffer for the rest of the world. You're appreciated.
Canary in the coal mine.
And then the next community day, they were just like, it's just 24 hours. It's just the full day. And there's part of me that's like, I'll just make it 24 hours so as many people can play. But then the other part of me is like, I liked that they force players to play at the same time, because then you do get that sense of community. You do see all the people at the park at the same time, because there is a window that they need to play in. Whereas with the 6-hour ones, and maybe it's just because, you know, people play Pogo differently since the pandemic, but with the 6-hour ones, it does seem that the parks are a bit emptier, that it doesn't seem like raids fill up as fast. Because it is so spread out, right? I normally start my community day an hour in, right? Because I had 6 hours now. So I usually miss the first hour because I like the longer days. I was talking to a friend about this. You know, when it was 3 hours and I was playing with my old group of friends, it would be We all woke up late. Commute day starting now. Go to the park. No time to stop. No time to eat. We only have 3 hours. And then when it's done, we eat. And that's fine. But the 6 hours, it's like, not that big of a deal. We missed the first hour. It's okay. We got 5 hours left. Okay, we played for an hour and a half. Hey, why don't we grab something small and sit down? Or hey, why don't we, you know, drive to a different location because we have the time to drive? Okay, cool. We got 30 Duskulls. Do we need to play for the remaining 90 minutes? No. Like, let's just go home. Like, it's just, it does feel more relaxed and more like an actual event versus go, 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 go for 3 hours because we're out of time limit.
The sense of community is a rough sell for me, given the fact that the world is still not in a great spot. So to be like, we need more people to cram into spaces for 3 hours is not an ideal situation. Like, I don't understand. Again, this is the distant thing. I don't understand what the reasoning would be to go back to a worse experience because the world has not been better and everything's going to be very, like, particularly in cold climes. We're all indoors doing this, which is not ideal for large groups of people to be forced together for a shorter amount of time. I still think, like, and if you say, oh, it's the hardcore players, like the hardcore players play all 6 hours.
Yeah, they're gonna play.
So you're really making it harder for the casual players, which, granted, is often not the first thought of most companies because casual players don't pay you as much money as hardcore do. But I even in a hardcore situation, hardcore players still play for the 6 hours. Like, they are interacting with your game for that entire time. So I'm not seeing the benefits behind a shorter time period other than the only thing I can sort of think is we already took up 6 hours of your time. We're going to do another one. So we're just going to shorten it so we aren't eating up so much of your time. And that I'm slightly okay with because there's two and it is a makeup event. Like, if this was, like, if we find out in February the main community day is only now going to be 3 hours, that's going to be a problem for me. But I think, given the fact that it's a repeat, it's the second one in the month, it's the second one in almost a week, like, while I think the decision is weird, I also can kind of see the thought process of, you don't have to do it. We're putting it out as a special thing, and we're just going to keep it shorter so that if you, as a hardcore person, do want to do it, we aren't monopolizing more of your time.
Yeah, to me, it seems like a combination of the, we're going to, like, go really back to classic, faithful remake and do the thing, and also, like, it's being treated as a separate bonus thing rather than a community day in and of itself, which kind of makes sense to me, I guess. Although I have never done a 3-day community day because I only started playing Pogo about a year ago. So I don't really have the experience to judge between them.
I'm just also shocked that this is just not February's community day or March's community day. Like, they repeated Charmander. Charmander, obviously an incredibly popular Pokemon. Bulbasaur, just as popular. And to all the hardcore people that complain, that's fine. like there's such a small part of, like, they complained about Roselia, right? And they complained about anything that wasn't Gible. And then when we got Gible, they still complained because they spent all that money on raid passes during GoFest. And then they all complained that their Gibbles were worthless or whatever that means. And the same thing will happen with Dino. They did Dino in GoFest. People paid dollars on top of dollars to get Dino. There will eventually be a Dino community day. And those people will complain, right? Like, you don't really win with the hardcore players. It's just like me with Apple products. I'm going to buy the next iPhone. I'm going to complain about it. It's fine. But Niantic will eventually run out of Pokemon here, right? Like this, like the problem isn't what happens when Niantic runs out of Pokemon. That is not the problem. People continue to play this game and have continued to play this game every day. And what was the last new Pokemon we got? The Bergmite.
Yeah, we just got Bergmite.
There was not a flood of people being like, I haven't touched the game in 2 years. Bergmite is here. Holy, like, that doesn't, that's it. That didn't happen. No one.
Well, there were some. There were a couple, but
there,
not like
there
a,
is not
there wasn't
a
majority by any means.
Soul out there who hasn't played Pogo in 2+ years that came back because Bergmite was added.
There is at least two.
And they're not listening to the show.
I disagree.
Bulbasaur hasn't been a community in, what, 3+ years? So, in my
head...
like,
are we going to count Kanto Tour?
No.
No.
Because that wasn't one... like, community days are 1 in 25, and specifically one Pokemon. Like, yes, you could have gotten a Shining Bulbasaur through Kanto Tour, but that was... what did people say that was? Like, 1 in 120, and there was so many other Pokemon spawning? Like, to me, it just makes sense that eventually Niantic will repeat events because you see that in MMOs. You just see that in, like, Final Fantasy. Here's an event. The last time this event was 2 years ago. And you don't really, at least when I played Final Fantasy 14, people weren't really ever upset. They were just like, yeah, it's been 2 years. I was missing one thing. Or, like, cool, I can take this weekend off. But Sally... Jean over here, who just started playing, like I'll help her get the mount that is coming back.
I mean, I think one of the differences in those are MMOs tend to run them for a week, and generally they don't have to be completed like within a set time period, like only 3 hours where you have to log in. Like they do repeat events, but they're usually over a period of time. I think Niantic is unique in the fact that they have a very limited window and you tend to have to go out of your way to go to places where they spawn a lot or specifically do incense at home. It is slightly different in Niantic does demand a little bit more effort and time from you than like a week-long MMO and it can be done while you're playing the game normally, right? Like, if it was community day for a week, and while you're playing the game, you'll run into Bulbasaur more often, and Bulbasaur will be shiny more often, that's a very different experience than we're giving you a 3-hour window.
Yeah. So we're like 5 years into Pogo. They want this to be a forever game. And if you just look at what else they have, you know, you have the 3 starters for Gen 6, the 3 starters for Gen 7, the 3 starters for Gen 8. That's 9 community days pre-planned. And then you have Dino. You have Jangmo. You have... what was the gen... you have Gumi. You have Dragapult. Like, those are your pseudo-dragons that will follow that pattern. And then you have the eventual Litwick. You have probably the eventual... what is the bird from Gen 7? That was... Pikapek, probably.
Yep.
Like, well, like in a month, we're gonna have all Gen 2 Pokemon be shiny. So you could, I don't know, do a Gen 2 Pokemon, but then people are gonna complain. Like Roselia, you know, Roselia had that like Safari Zone experience. It's like I would challenge somebody to try to plan out 2 years of community day, plan out 24 community days and see if you can do it. Because you're gonna discover very quickly there's not enough Pokemon. And you're gonna have to either repeat events or you're gonna have to do what they did with Roselia, was like, yep, this has already been shiny, but you know, we're gonna dedicate a day to it. Which I personally think is fine. Like it's mm-hmm. okay.
That's the best community day they've ever had before and since.
So it is just a little weird to me that they're like, okay, now we're doing 2 community days. Maybe this is an exception. Maybe this is just build up to, maybe this isn't every month. But like, I could just see it where they just do Bulbasaur for, hey, Bulbasaur is March. Sorry, it's a repeat. You'll get something new and exciting for April. But I think repeats are okay too.
I feel like this is a test to see how people will handle two community days in a month, given that one is a repeat.
I would bet money that the Bulbasaur community day would be more popular than this feel, because it's Bulbasaur and it's Gen 1. Even though it's a repeat.
The only thing that bothers me is that Charmander had two and Bulbasaur is having this one and it's not consistent, and I like things to be consistent and the same, and it annoys me that it is not.
Patterns.
Well, technically the first Charmander was 3, the second Charmander was 6, right? Yeah, the second Charmander was 6. But the second Charmander was voted upon, right? It was like Diglett, Zubat, Charmander, or...
Oh, yeah.
Dratini or something?
Yeah, that vote process, that made me so mad.
Okay, but then that means that then that was its own thing, which means that they would have to do another back to classic for Charmander, and then that would be a third Charmander.
Yeah, back to classic for Squirtle.
Since it is the heritage season of heritage, which is 3 months, right? Like each of the seasons last 3 months.
Yeah.
Do we think it's going to be...
Oh, one classic per season.
Right. Or is it going to be, this is the heritage one, so we're going to redo Bulbasaur, Charmander, Squirtle, January, February, March. That's heritage season.
Oh.
And then it's going to be some other thing. Like if the next season is the season of dragons or whatever, then they're going to bring back Dratini community day as the second one.
But also, why haven't we just had a community that's like, here's all 3 starters. They're all spawning in the wild. Good luck. Like that
because
would be a fine
community.
Because
then that's 3 community days that you don't have in the future.
I gotta milk it.
Right. I definitely feel like this throwback for this season is a test. I think they are testing to see how people will tolerate having a second throwback or flashback or retro or whatever you want to call
test,
it.
Though you're putting an incredibly popular Gen 1 Pokemon, easily one of the most popular Gen 1 Pokemons, against Sfeel.
You say that and Charizard is right there winning every poll that Bulbasaur isn't on.
There is, if we're talking like top Pokemon of Gen 1, Bulbasaur, Charmander, Squirtle are top. They just are.
Yeah, but it goes Charmander, Squirtle, Bulbasaur.
No, I think Bulbasaur is... Not, I would say Bulbasaur is second in that list. Like Charmander, Bulbasaur, Squirtle.
Squirtle Squad would beg to differ. People
the
were
difference,
up in
the
arms.
Difference between Charmander, we're getting really in the weeds here, is people like people like Charmander and people like Charizard, people like Bulbasaur. Don't get me wrong, there are people that like Venusaur, but Venusaur's popularity compared to Charizard, not even the same book. Like Charizard is up there. And Bulbasaur
and Charmander
are
dragon instead of a weird flower toad.
Blastoise also up there too, but like not on the same pedestal that Charizard's on. All right, last bit of news here is get ready to rock and roll during the Season of Heritage Mountains of Power event. The story continues here. There will be, for this event, half the walking distance to earn hearts for your buddy. There will be new timed research. Wild encounters will include Zubat, Machop, Geodude, Slugma, Nosepass, Barboach. All of those can be shiny. If you're lucky, you can encounter an Onix or a Ferrosseed. Both can be shiny. Raids are all bad. Skip them all.
They're not all bad.
Who is doing a 3-star Dawn fan raid? If you
the Dawn fan
if
fans?
If you have the time and energy to spend $1 on a Dawn fan, please consider subscribing to our Patreon and not using that money on a 3-star Dawn fan.
Are you giving out Dawn fans for $1?
I will for every new patron, if you're looking for Dawn fan, I will name one for you. I will trade. Possibly could be lucky. Hey, you never know. Get a Dawn fan from me, could be lucky. Mega Aerodactyls down raids, that's new. This event
Shiny
is-
Absol and 3-star raids.
Don't, okay, here's a hot tip. Don't do any Absol raids. You're probably thinking to yourself, I don't have Shiny Absol yet. Absol's Mega has not been released. Meaning that if you're grinding Absol raids for shiny, which, gosh, Absol's been shiny for what, almost 4 years now at this point? If you're grinding Absol raids for shiny, you're going to have to regrind it for Mega. It's going to be the same odds when it's Mega. Ignore all Absol raids. Wait till it's Mega.
Why would you have to regrind it? If you have a shiny Absol, you just need to get Absol Mega energy.
Yeah, but then you're doing like at least 3 to 4 Mega Absol raids to get the energy for the Mega. And then you're like, well, I need more energy because I got to Mega my Absol. Because once you have Mega Absol, you'll never go back to Mega Houndoom.
Because it's better.
It is better. Mega Houndoom had its moment at Kanto Tour 20, whatever year that was. Like, was that this year? Was that last year? I don't remember what it was. It's the year of Mega Absol.
Oh. You know, what is time? It was 2021.
Was it?
Yeah.
It sure was.
It was the start of...
Oh, yeah, because Niantic interviewed us at St. Right. Louis, and they were like, what was your favorite event this year? And I was like... I literally looked at Niantic and I was like, I cannot remember this year what events happened. Give me a list. I'll tell you which one I like.
Well, the easy thing to remember was nothing happened in 2020. So if there was an event, it happened in 2021.
No one should ever be doing Ursaring, Dawnfan, Medicham, or Absol raids right now.
What if your favorite Pokemon is Ursaring and you want... If your Mega favorite Ursaring
Pokemon
to come out.
Is Ursaring, and you've waited 4 years to this point to grind Ursaring. What is our question of the week?
All right. What is the question of the week? We want to know what you seek. Ask the question now. I try to buy you time, and you are never prepared.
I'm prepared? Why do we have repeat questions?
Because we don't get to them.
Which? No, I thought we answered this one that Brandon asked.
We picked for ourselves, but not for the other hosts.
Chris says, what character, human or Pokemon from the games, deserves a movie fleshing out their story? That's actually a good question. The answer is Spheal.
No. No, why can't I think of his name now? The guy that turned into Licky Licky.
Oh yeah. What I second that.
What is his name?
His name is like Baron Von Chuckles, I think.
Alright, I have to look this up. Because I know it and then my brain. Baron Alberto, yes. We need an origin story or a continuation story of Baron Alberto. We need to know where Baron Alberto came from. After being a Licky Licky, did he dream about becoming a Licky Licky master? Did he want to be a Licky Licky again? Did he change his hairstyle because his hairstyle made him look like a Pidgey? There's a lot of questions around Baron Alberto that I think we need answers.
I think we need more background and story on Tobias. How did he get Darkrai? Where did he get the Latios?
What?
Actually, why is he wearing a cape?
An interesting story to me would be Agatha and Oak as trainer ages, because we know that they
that would
had
be pretty good.
So I would like to see them not in a Celebi movie, but like let's go back in time and see Agatha and Oak running around and catching things and see that dynamic. I think that would be a fun movie after the Baron Alberto movie.
I'm just gonna throw it out there that there's a trainer in BDSP named Karina who uses a Piplup, and I would be so down to see her story.
Not it's to be confused with the Karina in X and Y, who is just very obnoxious.
Who we know that is everyone's favorite gym trainer.
They, you know, if there was a poke, they paired her, they pushed Lucario to the moon. They still do. But then for whatever reason, they were like, let's push this roller skating girl to the moon as well. They really jam her down your throat that entire game.
Everybody loves the X Games.
Somebody at Game Freak finally discovered extreme sports.
Anything on YouTube?
No, I forgot to ask a question on YouTube.
There
was
a question.
People
still posted there. People still, because you say I forget to ask, you say remember.
Oh, I found a question. This is from Andre. Here we go. It's when I post the question and thread it, it's very easy to find them. Then you gotta dig through YouTube comments. It's already a nightmare. Hey, if you're watching on YouTube, like and subscribe. What RPG mechanic would you want incorporated into a mainline game that hasn't been implemented to date and is working well in another RPG? good example if you have them. I do have an example, but I'll go last.
Did they give an example what they were talking about?
No. They said, if you have an example, give us.
Oh.
I've played a lot of JRPGs, so I feel like I have a couple. But there's one that stands out to me.
So, okay. One thing that I would like to see implemented in Pokemon games is a job system where, much like, because I like job systems. Like, I like Final Fantasy XIV where you can switch jobs. I like that in Final Fantasy games. But, like, you could pick up a specific job. Like, I'm going to pick the Pokemon breeder job, so therefore I can hatch and make eggs better and get better EVs. Like, a job-type system where your trainer customization affects the game more than cosmetically.
Hmm.
I think for me, I would like to see, like, different skills that you could level up as a trainer. So, like, if you, like, catch more Pokemon, you, like, level up your catching skill, and as you level up that skill, it makes it easier to catch, or, like, level up your breeding skill to, like, take less steps or something like that. I think that'd be cool.
Gosh, that is actually really good. That was in, like, Grand Theft Auto, I think. Or Saints Row, where if
it's
you,
in
like,
a lot of games.
If you, like, jumped a lot, your jumping would be better.
Yeah.
And some people would just, like, turbo A, like, all night, so then they, like, maximize their jump. I do like that a lot. The thing I was thinking of is what Bravely Default does. They do two things.
Mm.
Number one is when you're looking at creatures in the overworld, they will run away from you and your characters if they're too low level, letting you know that, like, oh, you can ignore those. And if they're higher level, and they do the thing where if it's higher level, you'll just get significantly more experience, they'll be aggressive, and they'll have, like, a little, like, exclamation point above their head being like, I'm mad because I'm better than you. And, like, you just know that, like, oh, if I'm grinding, they're going to pretty much come to me in this area. And once I get to a certain level, they're going to be not angry anymore because now I'm better than them.
I feel like they started that feel a little bit in the wild area.
Aren't they going to do that for Legends? Isn't that what the red-eyed?
Yeah, that's what I hope that is. And then the other thing that Bravely Default does is they just have, like, a straight-up speed-up mechanic. They'll be like, you can just, it's like the R button, but you can go like one times one times two times three times four. But their battles are like much, much longer. Like a boss,
way longer.
A boss battle in that game is probably like a 20 minute like fight. And there's always like a break point in the fight where the fight changes, and that's usually where you like lose. So it is frustrating to get like 15 minutes in the fight and then you're in the final stage and then they like wipe your party and you're like, oh, I don't want to do this again.
I mean, Bravely Default also has very specific moves and patterns to defeat enemies. So like, it's easy to be like, I have to fight this 14 times and I need to fly through it. But I would like a speed up mechanic for certain things.
There are very weird people out there that like the grind in Pokemon, and
there's a lot of people who like grinding.
Those people are the ones that are very into Diamond and Pearl because it's a very grindy game. There's no doubt. But also, like, I don't think it would be, if you want your game to be grindy, that's what you're setting out to be. It would be nice to have a fast forward mechanic because Bravely Default is a grindy game, and it did. At a certain point, it gets to me where it's like, okay, gotta grind for a bit. But the like speed up mechanic was like really nice because you're not gonna change the way you think about grinding. You're just like, I'm gonna have to go in, knock out these, go back, heal, come back out, grind.
I feel like this is another episode of it should have been a toggle. That should be a toggle.
Mm.
But Bravely Default is a very grindy game, like, and that's part of the storyline, like. The grind is built into the game for a very specific reason for that one. I get it. Like, grinding isn't fun for a lot of people, so it should be a toggle. There should be a way to speed it up.
Two good questions. Hey, that's pretty much our show. No Pokemon of the Week because Will's not here. He's in Hawaii. And if you go to his Instagram, he's like, hang out with birds.
He's got birds on his head.
Thing to do in Hawaii?
It's a thing to do here, but it's better in Hawaii because it can be outside. It's warm.
Yeah, I guess. Pengu, thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me on again.
You, people can find you on socials. You also have like a little store, right? You can promote
that. I do have a little store. So this is what I was making. It's all finished for those on the YouTube. I sell these on the interwebs. You can find me on Twitter at Pengumon, and links to the rest of me on the internet is there. Hmm.
Greg's on Twitter at White Wing. I'm on Twitter at Dragon Lake. Legends is... we got two more podcasts before Legends comes out, and then I'm assuming Greg and I will be doing a miniseries for Legends. I have no clue what that looks like, because we have no structure for that game. They haven't said that there are...
There are definitely stars.
There are definitely stars.
And the stars mean something.
But how long does it take to get a star? How fast are we getting to that? We know for sure that Cleaver battle is the first big fight. And if I'm assuming that is like the equivalent to a gym, how many gyms are there? And do we stop at every big battle? Are there even gyms? Maybe the Cleaver thing is just a side. I don't know.
You'll listen to the miniseries.
I feel like what little we know about it, it probably makes sense as each new area unlocks, because it sounds like after you complete XYZ, a new area will unlock, and there's like, what, 7 areas? That feels like a thing that game will do.
Yeah. There's always the worry that the reason they're not showing a lot is because they've already shown what there is. And then the other thing is, like, maybe there is a lot and they just don't want to spoil it. But they showed what Diamond and Pearl was, and it was exactly what it was. They were not...
But also, Diamond and Pearl existed.
Yeah.
Before. So... We all sort of knew it wasn't veering far off the formula. We just didn't know how strict they were keeping to the formula.
Yeah. I mean, when they showed Crown Tundra and Isle of Armor, that was it. They showed their hand, and we got what they showed. There wasn't, like, anything that was, like, shocking when I went to the Crown Tundra, and I was like, oh, my gosh, what a crazy spoiler here. It was like, this is what they showed us, and this is what we got.
Yeah, I feel like we have a little bit more mystery with Sword and Shield. I don't know. It's hard to say. I'm more curious what that trailer says in English, because I want to know how much they actually said.
Well, I'm sure we'll get something this week. I'm sure that trailer will get translated, or we'll get like a reduced, like, 3-minute English trailer that kind of cuts the fat, or we get something new altogether, but... we'll talk about that next week. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for making it to the end. I did take the last week off Twitch, so if you're listening to this on Monday morning, I will be back on Twitch for the week, starting on 6 p.m. Central Time on Monday, January 10th.
Do we have a special secret word?
Ooh. What is it? What is the secret word this week? Pengu, you can pick.
You brought it up.
Tetris 99.
Oh boy. This is what happens. I'm going to forget, and then people are going to spam Tetris. I'm going to go, why are you guys talking about Tetris?
At least it's not butt flap. Last time it was butt flap.
That was also very confusing.
Butt flap was a good word. And I will not tolerate anything to the otherwise. So it's Tetris 99 butt flap.
Great. I'm down. I'm for it.
Perfect. We will see you all next week. Thank you for listening. Follow on socials, PKMNcast, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, all that stuff. Thanks for watching on YouTube if you did. Thanks for listening on your podcast app if you did. Thanks for making it to the end. We will see you all next week. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super
duper effective.
Yeah, super seasoning packets.
How do we not have more ads? We're so good at it.
We are better than most places at reading them. I'm going to tell you that.
This podcast is supported by Patreon. If you would like to support It's Super Effective, you can head over to patreon.com/pkmncast. A huge shout out to our Patreon producers, starting with Steven, Sean, Matthew, Bovine, Kay, Jessica, Jacob, Brian, Evan, Ryan, Patrick, Nate, Catherine, Casey, Josh, Gray, Dylan, Carlos, Alvaro, and a shout out to our executive producers of Steph, Spencer, Courtney, and Brady. Thank you so much for your support. It is greatly appreciated. And we couldn't do the show without you guys. Thank you again, and we will see you next week.